Hey there, everybody. It is November 15th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send that email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a fun show we have for you this week. We must get started with our first guest. Lauren Bedford Russell is one of the cast members of The Real L Word, Showtime's top performing unscripted show in prime time. But the reality show only captures a tiny slice of Lauren's life. She is the mastermind behind Lion Fine Jewelry, a high-end fashion jewelry company known for its popular Equality Rock the Vote bracelets, which you can see on the wrists of Kelly Osbourne, Jason Mraz, Perez Hilton, Cyndi Lauper. Oh, do we love her, just to name a few. And she most recently created the Obama Forward bracelets in support of the, we can now say, successful Obama-Biden ticket and their commitment to LGBT rights and equality. And now she's here with us, Lauren Bedford Russell. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Very exciting that this was a successful ticket that you helped fund.
Oh my gosh. It is so exciting. And I couldn't feel happier about it.
So we should tell people 10% of the proceeds were donated to that ticket.
Yes, absolutely. I actually made the donation early before it was even decided because I wanted to obviously donate before the election closed. Yeah, everyone was so supportive. So many people bought bracelets. It was just a success all around. And really excited. I mean, this is one president that I really feel like I could stand behind. And, I don't know. It doesn't really happen that often. I think politics aren't my thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to politics. We're going to get to all that. I would feel remiss if we did not start with a little show called The Real L Word.
Right. Of course.
Lauren, did you know what you were getting into?
I definitely had an idea, but I never knew what exactly would happen. I just had an idea of, okay, I'm diving straight into this unknown world, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, it's just like I am still in shock sometimes when I think of what happened.
What's that question? What is that one question that everybody just stops you and asks?
Oh, you know, they always ask the difference between New York and my LA lesbians because I'm in between both cities and I kind of have the pleasure of knowing all of them. But that question a lot, and let's see, is it real? Is this really your life? You know, did everything really happen? There's no script. I'm not a good actress, so yeah, it's all real.
Well, I have to say, though, the number one thing that we see on these reunion specials are when the reality stars say, oh, that's not how I am, it was just edited that way. What do you say to that?
Obviously editing is a part of it. You know, there's some things that happened, that they only show, for instance, like one side of things. You know, they have to make the show exciting and they have to make it worth watching. I mean, I don't want to watch a boring show either.
So right.
The things that they maybe, took out of context, like between me and Amanda. I don't know if you watched.
Oh, yes. We had some questions about that from our listeners.
Yeah. That was a lot of taken out of context because, I was clearly upset with her, as I usually am.
Yeah.
But we have this, you know, funny friendship. But she was just gotten into town, and although there were no feelings involved, you know, it might have looked like there were, because as anyone can understand, if their best friends come into town and they're just moving there, you're just like, you can't wait to hang out all the time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait, we're not hanging out all the time. So it was just, you know, typical Amanda stuff.
At first, I should ask, do you watch The Real L Word?
I actually watched the first season, and for this one, we saw each episode pretty much a day before you guys did.
Okay.
It was all a terrifying surprise.
How weird is it to watch yourself, because it's not like, you know, when we have our television and our movie actors on the show and we talk about them playing different characters, you're not playing a different character. How weird is it to see just video of you interacting with people as you normally would just for mass consumption?
It was definitely something to get used to. I generally was, you know, very nervous before watching, and kind of that, it, you know, is exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time, but I have this really low sense of self, so it's like, what am I really like, you know? So it's funny to watch myself and see what came out across, you know, on screen.
Yeah.
But I think I was happy at the end of the day, you know, I think they were nice to me.
Nice. You said that you see the episodes a day before. Do you ever have to spend that 24 hours calling people and saying, okay, listen, what I need to prepare you for is this?
Yes, I did have to do that with my mom.
Oh, nice.
On a couple of the shows, it was like, Mom, okay, you might see a little bit of boob. But, I had to prepare the parents, but they were fine. But Amanda, I have to say, got pretty reamed after. Like, we had a while that we weren't really, like, getting along, because I saw all this stuff that she said on the show, kind of not behind my back, but sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of a surprise to me. And here I am thinking, like, we're friends and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think in the interview process, they, you know, you do like 7-8 hours of these one-on-one interviews.
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, you know, we all need a little forgiveness. So we're still friends, obviously.
Oh, good.
And all that. But that was something I definitely, when I watched each episode, I was like, hey, Amanda, thanks for saying that. It was really nice of you.
Now, I will tell you, Lauren, I have never had to call my mom before one of our episodes aired and said, hey, Mom, FYI, there might be a little bit of boob. Let's do a little bit of role play. So I'm Lauren and you are your mom. How does she respond? So I say, hey, Mom, it's me, Lauren. You might see a little bit of boob on tomorrow's episode. What does she say?
Oh, she said something like, oh, God. Oh, and then she'd start laughing. Say, is this something I'm going to be scared about, or am I going to have to call some friends to explain?
That's awesome.
She's a pretty cool mom. My dad's also pretty cool. I think their reaction was pretty awesome. They're really, really nice about everything.
Well, can we actually talk about your family a little bit? Because I don't think folks know what a cool family you have emerged from.
Yeah, it's, we're quite a interesting family. We're big and many different, from all different kind of, careers and backgrounds. And basically, my father, Richard Russell, he's actually from Manhattan. He's 88. I was his youngest child. He started having kids at the age of, I don't know, I guess he was in his 30s. And, with his first wife here. So I have three half-sisters from his first marriage.
Okay.
And then he moved out to California, met my mom, and then me and my brother. And then they divorced, and I have a stepfather and a stepmother that I grew up with. So I basically grew up with four parents. I have three half-sisters, a brother, and a sister. One of my half-sisters is an actress, Bessie Russell. She was in all the Saw movies, and she was a big 80s actress. Bunch of movies with like Phoebe Cates and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys all grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
And my stepdad owns a restaurant in La Jolla. It's called George's at the Cove. And actually, the funny thing is, my mom worked for my dad, my real dad, you know, pretty much all of my life growing up. So they've been best friends, and it's just this whole mixed, funny family.
But you have not even yet mentioned my hero, your grandfather.
Oh, my, the misconception is that Max Lerner is my grandfather, but that's Betsy's. It's on Betsy's side.
Okay.
It's her grandfather. But, I mean, would he be like my half-grandfather?
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. But, I mean, I wish. I've seen that a couple times mentioned, and it's like, no, he's a brilliant man. But, no, I can only claim that he's on my sister's side.
Well, I have to say, though, he has this quote that is just one of my hero quotes, and I just feel like when I watch The Real L Word, I feel like this comes up. One of his great quotes is, "The turning point in the process of growing up is when you discover the core of strength within you that survives all hurt." There's a lot of that going on The Real L Word.
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, there's discovery, there's pain, there's, you know, happiness, there's a lot of transition, and I think that all comes through for sure, and it's crazy that it all happens in a generally short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. And we should say also, I mean, your dad, in addition to having these children, also is an icon of an economist in the world.
Yes, he is. So proud to be his daughter. He's taught me a lot. I actually used to work for him as well. He taught me everything I know about, you know, the markets. And I was actually trading on my own for a while, and that helped me actually open my jewelry company, which not many people know.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the jewelry, because this is very exciting. So you were trading, and you were thinking, where was that part where you said, I can design these things. I can put this stuff out there.
Well, my father actually, he was always very obsessed with, you know, jewels, gemstones, and gold as well. You know, he's known for his take on gold. He taught me so much when I was younger growing up. I sort of built this love for gemstones. And out of college, I didn't know what I was going to do. I went and worked at a jewelry store, and I kind of, you know, I ended up working for him a couple years later, but I never kind of left that world. It just was like, I don't know what I want to do within it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as years went on, a couple years went by, I decided that jewelry really is my passion. I went and worked for Ivanka Trump, her jewelry line, in New York City, and kind of started designing on the side. Ended up going to Gemological Institute of America and taking their online courses, which I have to say were amazing. And I haven't yet finished, but it was like a graduate gemology, basically, is what it's called.
Nice.
Very intensive course. But once I started doing that, it was like, okay, I started designing. I decided I need to make this happen. You know, there's something here that I need to get out. So instead of like sitting and finishing up school, I decided to open my company, which I have to say, which I would never advise someone to do that. I'd always say school first. But in this case, I'm really happy I chose the company. And it went from there. It's just a few years ago that I started it. So I am very blessed.
Yeah, tell us about the name Lion Fine Jewelry. Where did the name come from?
So I was pondering the thought of the name of the company, and there are a couple other Laurens in the jewelry world, so I thought, why don't I do something different? And the funny thing is, my dad's middle name is Lion.
Oh.
L-I-O-N.
Okay.
So I decided to take that name, since I've always loved it, thought it was so cool, and just change the lettering and make it Leon or Lion, whichever way people want to pronounce it. And all my pieces are basically from the names are derived from different places in the world.
Oh.
So having the name Leon kind of fit in with that genre and kind of made it all complete. So that's what it was.
By the way, your dad's middle name is Lion?
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's a lot of pressure.
I know, right? I never thought of that, the pressure aspect.
Yeah, that's a lot to live up to. That's a lot to live up to. Yeah. Now, when did you first have that sense of, holy cow, People are buying these. People are wearing these, and they're out there in the world.
Oh gosh, I still can't. Like I still, when people contact me from other countries, and but you know, a lot of my sales are in other countries, I still don't feel like it's reaching that many. But I'm one of those people that never admits their success to themselves. So I still don't believe it.
Okay, you need to work on that.
I know. I know, I do. It's really funny. It's just all in my house. But my work's never over, you know?
Anytime your bio has Kelly Osbourne and Cyndi Lauper in it, you need to work on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try.
Okay.
For you.
We're here to help. We're here to help. Okay. So you get these calls from all over the world, and you're thinking, look at this. People are getting my jewelry.
It's amazing. And actually, going in, I never really, you know, my idea was never to start out with the charity bracelets. It wasn't anything that a concept that I even thought of until a little bit later, like a year ago. So, you know, I started with the fine jewelry, but what's happened is that even though I'm doing the fine jewelry, what I really get the most happiness out of is where I'm going with the charity bracelets. Like, it's so amazing that I get to do something like this, you know, every day. And I'm constantly thinking of different, you know, bracelets that I put out. Next, I want to do, like, a bullying bracelet.
Yes.
I have an idea to have, like, helping the animals and have people pick a charity they want to donate to, because you can't just pick one.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, just going to keep checking. It's pretty exciting.
Might you consider a recognize your own success bracelet?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. It would be great. Now, you are first. I'm going to design it. Now, you are our first jewelry designer, I think, that we know of, that we've had on the show in the past 4 years. And so I got to tell you, I know nothing about this world. What would you say your style is? How do you approach even conceptualizing a new piece?
Well, when I designed the line, I was living in New York, and I was taking, you know, it took a little time off from having a, I was working for Ivanka when I started, but once I left that company, I had a little time on my own, just me and my apartment, the city, and it was derived, you know, my inspiration was derived from the city, from my style that I wear, which is kind of a lot of black, a lot of urban, clothes, boots, leather, a lot of architecture has inspired me, and I really just started thinking of what do I want to wear and what kind of designs are missing in the marketplace. And you know, one of my rings took me, I don't know, a few months to really finalize.
Okay.
During that time, I mean, some of it just isn't just overnight. You know, it's not just one day, but some of it is. You know, it just is different. But the equality ring, it was such a simple idea, and I had people that were kind of like, no, you should make it the other way, so it's very obvious, equal sign, and I just stuck to my original plan, and I think it's very successful. So my thing is, like, always go with your gut, so I always just follow what my gut feels, and that goes with everything.
Yeah, and you have all these amazing pictures of just you and these incredibly inspiring celebrity personalities wearing your stuff. What is that like for you?
It's cool. You know, I think everyone likes a stylish bracelet that's charitable. You know, that's really, it's not a lot of twisting of arms to get people to wear that stuff. So I think, you know, it's a great feeling. I like the support. A lot of those photos are from, you know, charity events or from, you know, I went to Sundance last year.
Yeah.
And got a lot of support from celebrities there. But, yeah, it's great. I think the best thing though for me was when, this was, I don't know, 8 months ago, a woman emailed me from the Midwest and she said, I want to buy a bracelet for my daughter. She's a lesbian. And I don't know, something about her email was just like, my work is done. Like,
oh, that's fantastic.
Mother, you know, in the middle of the United States where there's not a lot of exceptions, you know?
Yeah.
It was just really cool. I just got goosebumps. Ah!
That's fantastic. Now we have to know, how many Lauren Bedford Russell bracelets do you think that Amanda has?
I don't know. I think she probably just has a couple.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I like my friends to wear I give them my bracelets, but once they lose it once, they don't get another chance, you know?
Yes, so I hear you.
but she wears her Zolli bracelet every day for sure. And we'll see. We'll see if she's a better friend this year. Maybe she'll get something else.
she might get upgraded. She might get upgraded.
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine that you get asked to go to all of these just crazy events, like things that you know, maybe weren't even on your radar. Have you gone to some amazing nights out?
Let's see. I don't know. It's not as much as you'd think. I am definitely traveling a lot. What
yeah.
I'm doing a lot is appearances for parties and stuff like that around the United States. Kiyomi and I are actually going to Australia in February for 2 weeks for, like a like a three-city tour. It's kind of like I'm pinching myself. There's so much going on, and I think that's pretty cool. So
that's going to be a bit of a flight.
Yeah, a little flight. But no, I mean, the parties are now. I haven't been to generally like any high, you know, like Hollywood-y type parties. I've been laying low. I'm working hard.
Yeah. No, we like that. Now, what do you have coming up that we should all know about?
What do we have coming up? Well, I'm continuously building. I have a couple rings I'm putting out that are more affordable. They're like signet rings.
Nice.
You're the first to hear that they're signet rings. So they're you know, men and women can wear them, which I like. I like to do that as much as possible. I try to keep it unisex as much as possible. But they're pretty cool. Those are coming out on the line. And like I said, the cherry bracelets. As far as my life, I think I'm in New York right now. And we'll see. I'm kind of back and forth between LA and New York. And I'm going to be in Miami for the white party. You going?
Not even remotely.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've always debated. I have to tell you, I am almost completely committed to going to the Dinah though this year. Isn't it great that I don't know that I'm going to, you know, the white party, but sure, I'm going to the Dinah.
Well, if I have to tell you what to pick, I would say Dinah.
Oh, good.
So I hope to see you there.
It's been 4 years of having Mariah Hansen on our show. At this point, it's time to go to the Dinah.
Do it. Yeah, I think Dinah is going to have a good year, and I hate to say it, I feel partly responsible.
Hey, I would take that on. And you did.
Episode, right?
Yo, yeah. Yeah. I almost had to call your mom in those 24 hours and said, hey, listen, this is what you're going to see. Now, you did give a shout out to Kiyomi. For folks who don't know who you're talking about, tell everybody who Kiyomi is.
Kiyomi is part of the cast. She is my girlfriend. We met on the show. It was like lesbian bachelorette. We didn't know it. She is part of the band. She's lead singer of Hunter Valentine. And they're on tour right now. The tour's almost done. But I've been able to go out on tour with them a lot, which has been fun. I've mentioned that. Their tour has been like 3 months long, but I've been on, I don't know, a third of the dates with them at least. So it's been really fun. So, yeah, she's coming back to New York soon. I'll be at the New York show supporting.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Does she ever, just in the middle of dinner or in the morning, whenever, whatever time of day, does she just suddenly burst out and talk about what a great experience that she had on our show in, you know, August of 2011?
That's so weird. She does do that, yeah. Like a little outburst, yeah. I was wondering what that was. I was like, what show?
What is she talking about? But yes, she rocked out on our show. And now I just want to give everyone, like, I'm still obsessed, by the way, with your dad's middle name being Lion. I want to give everybody this cool animal middle name.
I know. I think it's the best.
What would you pick?
For an animal middle name?
For you, yeah.
Oh God. The first thing that came to mind was zebra, but I don't think that's a good shot.
Well, but you already told us that you have to go with your gut, so that's what we're going with.
I guess we're going with that.
You sound so excited about it.
I've been teaching myself about myself right now. you're making me live up to things I've already promised to do. Okay.
Yes, for folks that didn't know, apparently we're a self-help show now, so I'm really excited about that. Now, where can folks go to learn more about the jewelry, about everything that you're doing?
Well, my jewelry is online, and I also do custom work. It's lionfinejewelry.com, L-Y-O-N-F-I-N-E, jewelry.com. And I am sold, not me personally, my jewelry is sold at Kiki de Montparnasse in New York City.
Nice.
Which is fabulous. If you've never been in there, it is a magical, magical store. It's gorgeous, and they have amazing jewelry and little device you can see for yourself, but lingerie, amazing art, and books and stuff. So, but they have a few little sex toy things that are really high end. They're cool.
Awesome.
And I'm also available at Berlin 65, which is in Williamsburg. There's a few little pieces in. It's next to. It's called. What's the restaurant called? Simple, and it's right next door to Simple.
Nice.
Which is a really cute little boutique that just opened up. So.
And for my New York friends, that's one of those other boroughs.
Yes, exactly. Williamsburg, first stop off the train.
Look at that.
In Brooklyn. Which I am right now. That's where I am.
And so, I do want to give a shout out to this one phrase that was in your bio that I actually haven't said yet, because it's really captures so much of really where the world is going. Socially conscious entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Why is that important to you? Because, you know, it's not just about making money and selling product and being in pictures. Why is that socially conscious piece important to you?
It's really important. I think, we live sort of in a time where it's not so important to be like the doctor, the lawyer, the this or that, and have so much. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's great if you do, but I think a lot of young people are getting more involved with making the world a better place. And I think any career path you go down, any profession you're in, there's a way to make it into a sort of a giving situation. And I don't care. Be creative. There's always a way. So
nice.
That's what I kind of believe in, and I don't know. It's a good way to live. I feel good about it.
Love it. Love it. Well, look, you got it. You got to take a page out of Kiyomi's book, because you probably noticed right after she was on our show, just the music got more confident and they really, success was found even more so. So this is what you'll listen to in the morning as you design that new I Am Successful bracelet.
Okay. And maybe I'll get some tape. I am successful. I am successful. I need to work on that.
Awesome.
I'm too busy for that. I've got to focus on things I need to do.
There's so much to get done. There's so much to get done. Well, gosh, you are such a treat, Lauren. I mean, we're always talking on the show about people who use their own voice, and I love having you on because you are who you are, and you put yourself out there, and there are things that are important to you, and you make that known to folks. And it's just such an inspiration to everybody who watches you on the show and everybody who sees what you're doing. It's just so authentic, and we're so appreciative.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate the fact that you knew so much about me. It's really nice.
We do our research.
Yeah.
Everybody, stroll on over, buy yourself some jewelry there. So wait, what happens now if people buy one of the forward bracelets?
Well, now if they buy a forward bracelet, it just goes directly into my company.
We're fine with that. We support that.
If that's okay with everyone.
It's more than okay. I checked with everyone.
Okay. All right. I even changed it online. It's not to support the campaign. It just says, and now it's like a commemorative piece.
Love it. Love it. And I feel that we should all profit from that. Lauren Bedford Russell, what an absolute treat having you on the show. Just please keep using your voice in the way you use it.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. And I learned something today as well.
Yay! Wow. I need to hear that more. I feel like I don't even have to call my mom and warn her now.
You don't.
Thanks so much, Lauren.
All right.
Spend your money, don't get me wrong, still gonna spend my money, I got the funds, let's take a quick vacation, a little shopping spree, a fancy destination, we'll spend it all on me, you could be my sugar daddy, I'll call you my honey honey, blow the rent, the whole shebang on me, you know how to throw a party, we can act like it's my birthday, lots of ways to make me smile, there's a
bang on me. You know how to throw a party. We can act like it's my birthday.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we have tons of LGBT news to share with you in this second half of our show, so let's get started. So as you loyal listeners know, I'm actually headed out in, I don't know, like 6 hours to drive down to Newark, New Jersey to go to the Newark International Airport and get on a plane and fly out to Uganda. Uganda. Now, I am categorically not doing LGBT work there. Let's clear that up right now. I'm volunteering with an organization called Sylvia's Children, which works with one particular school in rural Uganda helping out there. But you will hear all about that on next week's show, because we'll be doing a Rainbow Rewind featuring Sylvia from Sylvia's Children and my first time going to Uganda with her. But, so I'm heading out to Uganda, and, you know, I put that up on my Facebook, and everyone posts the link to the same story saying, are you crazy? So to update you, if you somehow have not seen, Uganda's Speaker of the Parliament has promised that that controversial anti-homosexuality bill will pass. It will pass by the end of the year. A new coalition led by the former State Minister for Ethics says the country is prepared to deal with any international fallout. So the Coalition for the Advancement of Moral Values does not officially launch until next week, but last Friday, the group of religious and civil society leaders organized a meeting with more than one-third of Uganda's members of parliament. There they pushed for the reintroduction of that bill that would broaden the rationalization of homosexuality. Before the meeting ended, Rebecca Kadaga, the Speaker of the Parliament, promised that the bill would pass before the end of the year. Quote, I can tell you it has a 99% chance. It will pass, no question about it. If there was any leader in this country who sympathizes with homosexuality, he will not say it in public because he knows that Ugandans, by and large, do not support that way of life. All right. So they've backed down. They've backed down from the bill that would kill you if you're gay. Although some would say this might be something like a life imprisonment. Why then, Ken Schneck, would you go to Uganda? I thought there was, you know, it was going to be more nuance than that, but it's really just that. Host of this show is so gay, you know, worked my whole life on LGBT issues or a good chunk of my life. Why would I go to Uganda? And indeed, I'm really conflicted. And the more you guys post on my Facebook wall saying, don't go, they're going to kill you, I wouldn't say it eases my fears. I would perhaps argue it increases my anxiety, as much as I love that you care about me, and thank you. And thank you. But, yeah, I'm going to this country that I've been to before where I experience nothing but unconditional love. Again, I'm doing very specific volunteer work. It is not LGBT work. It is much more in the field of philanthropy and education. So let's make no mistakes about it. I'm not bringing a rainbow flag with me. I'm not bringing my HRC shirt with me. So for all intents and purposes, I'm not gay. And when I was there last time, there were people who asked about my wife because I was wearing a wedding ring at the time. No longer. So hopefully I won't even be asked about that. And I didn't say, oh yeah, my husband. I'm not an idiot, folks. I'm not a total idiot. But at the same time, it's really, I'm so conflicted to be going back to this country where I experienced such love, knowing that were I to reveal this quite essential part of my identity, I'd be going to jail. And I don't want to be the international case. I don't want to be the international case. The interesting thing about following the Uganda story now is that these folks who are trying to pass it through just seem so much more fortified that the international outrage on, you know, not discriminating against gay people that all the other countries say, I can't remember what word President Obama used. I think he said it was odious, something like that, that they're just feeling much more secure there in Uganda, that they don't need that international approval. So they will be forging ahead. You'll hear more about my Ugandan trip next week from a few years ago, and then in 2 weeks you'll hear about this trip. So more to come, but it does not stop us from the good work we're trying to do. So from Uganda, we quite naturally turn our attention, as one would from Uganda, to Nebraska. The Grand Island, love this story, the Grand Island City Council, they have overridden a mayoral veto and enacted city employment protection for gay, bisexual, and transgender people. The ordinance change adds protections, just to be clear, only to city policies. It does not affect any other employer in this Nebraska, South Central Nebraska community. Let's not make this more than it is. The newspaper there said the proposal passed originally with a 6-4 vote on Tuesday night, but then the mayor, Mayor Jay Vavracek, they have the phonetic here, Vavracek, Jay Vavracek there, he's the mayor in Grand Island City, he vetoed it. So then the council had to come back and override his veto with an 8-2 vote. So two of the people there who voted against the ordinance then in the second time around, probably annoyed that the mayor vetoed them. Who knows how much it had to do with the actual protections. Yeah, they overrode the mayoral veto. Love that. Shout out Grand Island City Council. Well done. So we have a trio of just insane education stories. None of these stories are good. I am warning you in advance. None of these are increase in gay-straight alliances across the country in high schools, which might be true, and I do have a sense that there are more gay-straight alliances, but those aren't the stories I'm bringing you right now. First, we start out in Florida. A teacher at Deerfield Beach High School. Did you guys hear about this? She is fighting the Broward School District over their handling of an accusation. So she was accused by the parents of one of her students of contributing to their daughter's homosexuality. Juliet Hibbs is the teacher. She is a straight woman. She was investigated last year for misconduct after the girl's parents made allegations to the school's principal. The district cleared her. No action was taken, but she is saying there, Juliet Hibbs, that it has drastically affected her reputation, that she said, quote, "My career has been ruined. Before Deerfield, I had an impeccable record." She's an educator for 10 years. She said now that she has several medical problems from the stress of the situation that will likely prevent her from teaching. So she has filed charges with the Equal Opportunity Commission against the district. Let's go back to the story. The story is that these parents are saying that the teacher contributed to the girl's homosexuality. They accused her of possibly, you know, helping make her gay. And this is the funniest piece about the whole thing. This is Dr. Catherine Campbell. She's the director of clinical services at SunServe there in Florida, which is an organization that works with gay youth. She had to actually say this quote, quote, "A teacher doesn't determine the sexual orientation of a student." We are apparently at the point where we need to remind people that a teacher does not determine the sexual orientation of the student. So if you needed a reminder of that, you are now thusly reminded. So that's education, kind of weird story number one. Now we get into, you know, just banning material. This is where we just start banning things that we don't like in elementary schools. First, we start out with a play in Austin, Texas. So we're moving over to Texas now, from Florida to Texas. The Austin School District, they have now canceled 10 scheduled performances of the play version of And Then Came Tango, which is that children's book that chronicles the real-life adventures of two male penguins who raised a baby penguin together in New York City's Central Park Zoo. They have now banned all 10 performances. Just to tell you about the penguins, not about the performances, just the penguins, Roy and Silo, we got to get them on the show. They are the pair of chin-strap penguins that inspired the play. They were given a fertilized egg a few years back, and together they raised the hatchling, whom zoo officials named Tango. So then a student, a graduate student, turned that into a book, and then the book was turned into a play, and then the play, it got banned. It got banned. So they said, Greg Goodman, the school's district fine arts director, said, quote, "The subject matter communicated in the play is a topic that Austin believes should be examined by parents and guardians who will discuss with their elementary school age children at a time deemed appropriate by the parents and guardians." This is the first time it's been canceled. So the student who wrote the book said, quote, "Throughout the play, the definition of family is extended beyond normative representations. It highlights the importance of voicing your opinions and standing up for your beliefs, no matter how old you are." Of course, unless you're in Texas, where you don't get to have that conversation, because it done got banned, my friends. It was banned. It's just this whole idea, and I talk with my students about this often, because we talk about, so what's the purpose of schools, and what are schools supposed to teach? I'm working with one student. Shout out Maggie Wood. Maggie Wood will love her shout-out, who's studying sex education in schools. And before we even got into developing curriculums for sex education in high schools, I made her answer the question of, so what is the purpose of schools? Are they supposed to be teaching things like this? And, of course, we decided, yes, that schools do have a place in the social fabric of society and actually do have a responsibility to be engaging in these conversations. Now, if you're going to go and decide they can teach about these things, but not these things, and these families, but not these families, then I want to see it written down. I want to see the handbook that gets sent home to the parents that clearly articulates, this is what we will be engaging your child on, and here are the topics we will not be covering. Please be sure to talk about them with your children. Because, of course, the assumption is, first of all, that all these children are having these conversations at home, which is not necessarily true. It assumes, well, actually, it doesn't assume, but it prevents that there's any sharing of ideas, which if you don't think elementary school kids share ideas, what the heck is wrong with you? We don't just limit these conversations to the home and say, oh, they're not going to come up on the playground. They're not going to come up in small reading groups. The teacher isn't with every child at every moment. So to just ban content like this, but it doesn't stop there. We don't just ban plays. We ban books. It's 2012, nearly 2013. We're still banning books because you go from Texas straight on over to Utah. And the American Civil Liberties Union, they filed suit against a Utah school district for their decision to remove a picture book, which features lesbian mothers. They have now removed that book from elementary school libraries, and the ACLU now needs to file suit in order to get a book on a shelf, a children's book. I'm getting choked up. It's a children's book. So there's this one woman, Tina Weber, so she's the mother of three children, and she's the only plaintiff named in the case, and she says, quote, as a parent, I believe it's my role to help my children understand certain issues and explain to them our particular values and stances on things, which is good. She said, I don't believe it's for anybody else to tell me how to raise my family. I would just hope to see the book get back on the shelf so that all children have access to it. The name of the book is In Our Mother's House. It's described by this mother who's in the suit as, quote, just a sweet story about a mixed family that learns to love each other. That's all. That's all. But what the school district is saying is that in order for kids to access the book, which isn't even on the shelves, they need to sign they need to have a signed permission slip from their parents. Again, I want us to be going book by book by book in the library to say these are the books that we say are acceptable. And these are the books that aren't, and this is why, and these are the books you need permission slips for, and these are the books you don't need permission slips for. I, of course, think that that would be ludicrous, but if you're going to go this route and just pulling certain books off the shelf of banning plays, give me a freaking break. Then articulate, this is the content that's acceptable, this is the content that not. Don't just give a general shout out to their issues that need to be talked about at home. Name them. Give voice to them, school officials, because once you actually have to cite them, I think your argument's going to fall apart a little bit. It's going to be a little embarrassing for you. So that's what's going on in education. Now, we still have more time left. There's more to talk about. We are turning our attention to politics. So we got some emails, and my gosh, do we love when you guys send us emails. Send us emails. We respond to every single email that you send us. You send it on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. And every single email you send gets answered. And so we got some emails after last week's show saying, you barely focused on the election. And I agree. We barely focused on the election. And I know that a lot of the lobbying groups are saying, we got to capitalize on this momentum. Here's my deal right this second before we get into our politics stories, because there are some stories that you might not have heard about that we want to let you know. Can we just celebrate for a little bit more? Can we just pause for just a slight bit more? And again, I get the whole let's capitalize on momentum, but it's actually okay for us to chill out and celebrate and say, holy cow, were these victories. Victories for marriage equality. Victories for these out gay candidates. Huge victories. I find it near impossible to believe, and I know I'm being really naive right now. I know it. But that in a couple months, the Republican Party is going to say, no, you're misinterpreting what happened. That is not the way the country spoke. The country spoke with such a clear voice in so many different communities in just myriad ways, from ballot initiatives to candidates, that I just think it's going to be really difficult for people to turn around and say, no, that's not what these huge millions of Americans said. So given that, now, I'm naive because there will be revisionist history that tries to happen, but I think that's going to be really difficult for people to do. So given that there was such a clear message, it's actually okay for us to chill out for a little bit. And again, it's only been 8 days, so don't accuse me of not capitalizing on the momentum. We can chill out and celebrate for 8 days. Tammy Baldwin, holy cow, that's huge. All of these different people who were elected, huge. All of these ballot initiatives, huge. Some things that you may not have heard about. In Washington State, which had an amazing ballot initiative, Ed Murray was elected as the majority leader of the Washington State Senate. He's now the second openly gay person in U.S. history to lead a state Senate. He's a Democrat. He's been state senator since 2006. He was the lead sponsor of the state's marriage equality bill, which passed earlier this year and was affirmed by voters in last week's election. This is a quote from Ed Murray, quote, "We have work to do in Olympia," that's Olympia, Washington, "prioritizing education, creating jobs for the middle class, and ensuring Washingtonians have the health care they need. And one of our challenges in a closely divided chamber is to ensure that the Senate is able to fulfill its obligation to govern the state in tandem with Governor-elect Jay Inslee and the House. Those are not simple challenges, but they are solvable. We can find solutions that work for all of Washington State." So that's huge. Now, my little trivia buffs, my little rainbow trivia buffs, what state was the first openly gay person to head a state Senate? Tick tock, tick tock. Did you say Minnesota? If you did, you are correct. The late Alan Speer was president of the Minnesota Senate from 1992 to 2000. Speer was a senator from 1972 until his retirement in the year 2000, 28 years as a senator. He came out in 1974. He subsequently then served as president of the Minnesota Senate. Love that. So that's very exciting. Current LGBT leaders of state houses or assemblies are California Assembly Speaker John Perez. We cover these because you should know these things. Rhode Island House Speaker Gordon D. Fox and incoming Colorado House Speaker Mark Ferrandino, and Representative Tina Kotek, who is a lesbian. She is expected to be elected Speaker of the Oregon House this week. So all these amazing leaders, all these amazing leaders. You go over to Arizona, and former, this is huge, and we just confirmed this week, well, we didn't, the Associated Press did, but, you know, we'll take credit, former Arizona State Senator Kristen Sinema, she has won her race for Congress. She beat, very narrowly, Republican candidate Vernon Parker in the newly drawn 9th Congressional District. The ballot counting has been going on since Election Day, but now the AP has called her race for her. Kristen Sinema becomes the first out bisexual elected to Congress, where she will join her six other peers, her openly gay and lesbian colleagues. Our buddy Chuck Wolf, the president and CEO of the Victory Fund, he said, quote, "We are thrilled for Kristen. She's a dynamic leader and she'll be a strong voice for her community and for all LGBT Americans." So exciting. Now, this is not election news, but it should get a shout out because it's, you know, a big deal. It's a big deal. If confirmed by the Senate, which people think is going to happen, particularly because the Senate has a nice Democratic majority. I think it's 55 to 45 now. William Thomas of Florida is going to become the first out gay black man to be a life tenured federal judge. President Obama nominated him just this week to a judgeship on the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida. Again, if confirmed, he would be the first openly gay black man to be a life tenured judge. So exciting. All of these walls are coming down all over the place, except where some walls are going up. Now, Kansas. We're doing such a national tour right now. Kansas. Do you live in Kansas? What's your life like there? Send us an email. Ken@thisshowisogay.com. I'm curious what your life is like there. So voters in two Kansas cities repealed LGBT non-discrimination ordinances in last week's election. Now, I've talked about things like this on the show before. I think it's one thing if you are anti-gay or pro-family, I guess that what some people are calling it, and you want to go out of your way to enact an ordinance where there isn't currently one that limits marriage. Okay? That's one thing. It is categorically, to me, and it's not a good thing. Don't think it's a good thing. It's not. It is categorically a much different thing when there is a pro-gay legislation that people have worked hard to pass, and then time and money and energy is spent not to proactively pass something, but to repeal something else. To put in that energy to take away something that has been given is just, to me, so much more dastardly than to just proactively say, we just don't want you to ever have this. The difference is now we're saying, this was something you were given, we want to take it back. So in Kansas, Secretary of State Chris Kobach, he has said, because, you know, there's been some attention on this, and Chris Kobach, the Secretary of State there in Kansas, now I don't know how much Chris Kobach speaks for the state, but the Secretary of State said, hey, you don't like it? You don't like what we've done? He says, you can move. In fact, he's kind of encouraging it. Here's his quote. Oh, you're going to love this quote. My hope is you've heard this quote. Quote, there are true cultural differences between voters in Kansas and voters in New York or California. If a person wants to live in a San Francisco lifestyle, we'll come back to that phrase, they can go there. If they want to live a Kansas lifestyle, they can come here. Let's cover that little piece again. If a person wants to live a San Francisco lifestyle, they can go there. What our buddy, Mr. Secretary of State Chris Kobach, is saying is that San Francisco lifestyle, that actually he could have just said, because this is what he actually said, if a person wants to be gay, they can leave. If they want to be straight, like what is acceptable here in Kansas, they can come here. I don't know. I really admire when we have people on the show who are living in these rural communities or these conservative communities and are making such a huge difference in the world and in these communities. I admire that. I don't really have it in me. You know, I've lived in New York City most of my life, and now I live in Vermont, which, you know, pretty gay friendly, as Governor Howard Dean affirmed on a show a few weeks ago. But when the Secretary of State, which I can only assume is a pretty high up position there in Kansas, basically says, if you're gay, you can go to San Francisco, go elsewhere. If you're straight, then you can stay here. Why do you stay there? Why do you stay there? Yes, he's not the governor. And maybe, and this is where, if you're listening in Kansas, please write us and tell us what the climate is like there for you. Because maybe this guy represents nothing, and I don't know what I'm talking about, okay? And so I'm leaving room for that possibility. But I don't know, on a basic political level, I assume that he speaks for quite a few people. And I don't want you to leave your families, and don't leave your kids behind and just leave. Take your kids with you, and if you can, take your families with you. But this is a blight. This is a blight for a state to affirm something like this. So I don't know why we funnel any money into there, but this is not to diminish any of the hard work that I'm sure there's an ACLU of Kansas and some sort of pride organizations in Kansas. And I'm going to actually look that up. I will make the commitment to look that up for a future show, and let's get some Kansas representation on here. So that's what's going on in Kansas. A little bit more, and then we got to go. And by we got to go, I haven't started packing yet. So I got to get to Uganda, my friends. Over at the Human Rights Campaign, this is really, really important. It's so important that you go to the Human Rights Campaign website and look up their 2013 Corporate Equality Index, which was just put out there. So you go to www.hrc.org/CEI. CEI, that's Corporate Equality Index. Because that is the Human Rights Campaign survey on what, you know, which companies are really doing pro-gay things and are gay friendly. Some 252 businesses achieved 100% rating this year compared to, get this, this is the progress. People are like, where's the progress? I don't think people are saying that after last week's election, but the 252 businesses, 100% rating, just 11 years ago, there were only 13. In 11 years, we've gone from 13 to 252. The rankings measure corporate commitment across more than 40 policies and practices, such as non-discrimination measures, partner benefits, employee resource groups, all that fun stuff, public support for equality. This year, according to HRC, a record 74 major businesses took public pro-equality stands, including support for the successful marriage-related campaigns in 4 states. Also this year, a majority of Fortune 500 companies have non-discrimination policies that cover gender identity, while transgender inclusive healthcare coverage continues to increase, now being offered by 42% of participating companies compared to only 19% last year from 19 to 42% transgender inclusive healthcare. Not a majority yet, but we're getting there. That's hrc.org/CEI. Find out where your money is going. If you're spending your money on things, go to the Corporate Equality Index and find out if the companies that you're supporting are supporting gay people. I think that's important because there are alternatives and there are people who are working really hard. So that's that. Very quickly, I will just say this. I love Andy Cohen. I would marry Andy Cohen tomorrow. Andy Cohen, if you're listening, will you marry me? Hit me up at ken@thisshowisogay.com and let me know your answer. But Andy Cohen, a little bit of flack this week, which kind of was a little bit surprising. He was on the Today Show. He went into the green room. He saw the band One Direction. I love them. I'm a tween. I embrace that. I know it. I'm a tween. Let's just move on past that. And he tweeted about it, and he basically called them twinks. And people flipped out, and he got a barrage of tweets, my fiancé, Andy Cohen, and he apologized for using that term, which is slang, if you don't know twinks, for twinks, young gay men. And so he said, misused the word earlier. But I was really surprised because there were all these polls saying, hey, do you think that twink is a derogatory word? And the majority of people in these polls that I read about said no, they didn't think it was a derogatory word. But, you know, people were upset enough by it that my fiancé, Andy Cohen, if I say it enough, does that just make it so? Is he already married? Oh, gosh. If he's already married, maybe I should know that because I'm not a total homewrecker. But for Andy Cohen, I'd consider it. So don't use the word twink in your tweets or people will be upset with you. Okay? All right. Dudes, friends, gay brothers and sisters, allies, all of you, I got to go. I'm going to Uganda. I haven't even started packing, so I'm going to go. But some things that you should do. I would love to come back to a ton of emails from all of you. If you've listened to Lauren Bedford Russell earlier on the show and you enjoyed it, send me an email. ken@thisshowisogay.com. Takes 2 seconds. Just write an email saying, heard your show. Even more, if you want to say, enjoyed your show, I would love that too. I love the feedback. All of us who work so hard on the show just love you guys contacting us. Strolling over to the Facebook group. There's like 3,000 people on there, way more than 3,000 people on there. So you go to Facebook, you type in "This Show Is So Gay," you like us, we then in turn like you, which more of an emotional thing. I don't know how that would actually manifest, but we like you. And of course, go to thisshowisogay.com and learn all about the fun things happening coming up with our show, including Billy Myers, who's coming up on our show when we get back from Uganda. Next week is a Rainbow Rewind. You're going to hear Sylvia Allen from Sylvia's Children and also Andrew Suvalski, who's a singer-songwriter. But we'll tell you about that next week, and you'll learn more about when I went to Uganda the first time. And then I'll talk about in a few weeks with Billy Myers when I go this time a little bit later today. Get out there, folks. Go do what it is that you do to make a difference in this world, to raise up the voices of your brothers and sisters who are struggling to get their voices on the table. You can help them, and you have a unique way of doing that, and I don't know what it is, but you do. You know what it is. Get out there and go use your voice in that powerful way, and hey, while you're doing it, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?